The forecast for today, partly cloudy with a high around the mid-70s. Three men, of course, shot at point-blank range Sunday evening in Kenosha County while they attended an event at the Great Lakes Dragway south of Highway KR. The suspects still at large. Sheriff David Beth says the victims were Illinois gang members, though he wouldn't specifically say this was a gang-related crime.
A lot of people from Illinois will bring up family members that are gang members, and they'll put them in places like Kenosha. And what they want to do is to get them out of the gangs, to get them out of that environment. So our high schools have people from outside of Kenosha County that come here trying to get rid of that. So I don't believe it was a gang-related type thing. I wish I knew more about exactly why they were shot here, why this place was chosen.
The sheriff noting a lot of investigative work still has to be done. He's hoping the social media craze can play a role in them getting a lead toward finding the shooter. He said this only once, but the sheriff did label the shooting an assassination.
He walked up to the three that are now dead and basically just shot them point blank. He knew what his targets were. He shot two of them. The third one ran around to the side of the tent. He shot him, and then he came back up and fired a few more shots into the two that were laying there. So there are multiple shots here, and he had enough time and enough arrogance to go back up and actually make sure that they were dead.
The suspect description, an African-American male, 20 to 30 years old, thin athletic build, shaved hair on the sides of his head, and a scruffy top. Two of the victims, 30 years old, the other 26, two men from Aurora, another from Oswego. Racine Police Department says a person of interest was taken into custody, referenced the August 6th shooting death of Deshaun Jordan in an alley off 16th Street near Phillips Avenue. This in addition to the arrest of a 17-year-old who was charged last week. The shooting scene drawing a crowd of about 150 people Sunday night for a prayer vigil. Last night, not quite as many, but several people did attend a neighborhood watch meeting at the COP house right across the street from the alley. That's where they were told about the second individual. A retail theft from the Walmart in Mount Pleasant sparked a foot chase that went through farm fields and backyards and ended up with the arrest of a 27-year-old man from Waukegan. A news release indicates Walmart officials contacted police just after 9:30 Monday morning, said a man they believed to have stolen items from the store earlier in the month had come back. Suspect was walking out to his vehicle with several allegedly stolen items, spotted police near his car, ran back into the store, then eventually out through a fire door at the rear of the building. With the help of officers from Racine and Sturtevant's police departments and deputies from the sheriff's office, the man was eventually arrested near Old Green Bay and Brown Roads. He's being held in the county jail pending more charges. A Racine man charged with drunk driving after he was found slumped over the wheel of his truck at a gas station in Caledonia over the weekend. Court documents had an officer noting the vehicle was running, the driver asleep, the man's hand in a bowl of nachos. After making sure the vehicle was in park, the officer poked the driver in the arm a few times until the man woke up. While being questioned, that man reportedly believed he was at a Walgreens, and after pulling a large wad of cash out of his pocket and thumbing through it, he grabbed a bag of cinnamon rolls, according to the reports, and offered one to the officer. 36-year-old Adam Baranowski, accused of OWI fifth offense, plus cocaine possession and operating while revoked. He's going to be back in court later in the month. It was right along party lines in Madison, the Assembly Committee on Jobs and the Economy approving the Foxconn incentive package, sending it on to the full Assembly for a vote on Thursday. It was broadcast live on Wisconsin Eye. More than 20 amendments offered up by Democrats rejected. Kenosha's Todd Onstad, disappointed.
However, refusing to entertain a single amendment here today leads me to believe that there may not really be any interest in this being a bipartisan vote. Far too many questions have been raised about whether or not this project is good for taxpayers, a good deal for Wisconsin workers and contractors, and safe for our environment for me to vote yes today.
Onstad said he wanted to see the legislature take a deep breath, in his words, and slow down the process by entering into more discussions to come up with the best possible deal for the state. Again, the Assembly, the full Assembly, scheduled a vote on the bill Thursday. State Senate's referred the bill to the Joint Finance Committee, which has yet to schedule a hearing on it. CNN's got a town hall meeting featuring Congressman Paul Ryan next Monday evening in Racine at the Theater Guild. A news release says it will be open to the public, but CNN is going to be in charge of attendance for the event. A request for tickets posted by CNN on their webpage. Kenosha branch of the NAACP has an anti-hate and candlelight vigil at 5:30 this evening at Civic Center Park on 57th Street for the victims of the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia this past weekend. And one obituary, Gordon Haley Overseen, at the age of 49, passed away on August the 10th. A memorial service going to be held at the Marsh Meredith and Acklam Funeral Home tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. A woman from Summers facing charges in Racine County, accused of stealing some $12,000 from her employer, the McDonald's restaurant on Green Bay Road in Racine, over a four-month period. 35-year-old Cynthia Williams in court charged with fraudulent writings and theft in a business setting. Court documents indicate she was the manager of the restaurant and allegedly pocketed cash while preparing the nightly deposits. She also allegedly admitted falsifying returns, claiming that she believed she had only taken out about $1,000 to pay for expenses. She'll be back in court later this month. The Racine Common Council meets at 7 o'clock tonight on the second floor of City Hall. The start of the agenda, aside from public comments, has several communications being introduced and then sent off to committee. Those include the City Attorney's Office requesting council authorization to accept a monetary gift from the estate of Nicholas Willing. It would be toward the purchase and the maintenance of heart defibrillators to be placed in public setting municipal facilities all across the city. The Finance Committee will be discussing that. Alderman John Tate II's request is going to the Public Works Committee, on which he is a member. It's for a comprehensive review and possible modification of the policy on streetlight removal and replacement. And Alderman Tracy Lahren's request that the city enact an anti-bullying ordinance, that'll be a committee of the whole discussion. It was a devastating fire Monday morning in the city of Kenosha. The Parks Department still scrambling to figure out how they're going to do the work that still needs to be done. That fire apparently began as a result of some type of an electrical malfunction. It virtually destroyed the contents of half of the department's field office near 39th Avenue and 65th Street. Gone are four trucks, some lawnmowers, and a variety of hand tools. This is Park Superintendent Jeff Warnock.
The heat was, unbelievable. The flames were up in the loft area about just underneath the roof line, but the heat inside there, it melted quite a bit of equipment.
Meanwhile, Warnock says the firewall prevented the flames from spreading even further to the office area.
They have soot and dirt, from the fire itself, but no damage as far as the equipment goes on the east side, which were the offices and things like that. So we were lucky in that regard. Everything on the other side is in my mind, a total loss. And we had things in there such as grass seed, pallets of paint for the soccer and baseball. So, chalk, all that stuff. If it wasn't from the fire, then the water damage.
As for the damage estimate, he says it's expected to be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Firefighters, some from neighboring communities, on the scene of that response for several hours. The Burlington Common Council meeting in Committee of the Whole at 6:30 tonight in Council Chambers on East Jefferson Street. It's a very light agenda. There will be an update on the flood aftermath and some talk about playground equipment at Deaver Park. Right after, it's the regular business meeting of the Burlington Council with an agenda that includes approval of the issuance of a Class B Reserve liquor license. The license purchased from the town of Burlington for the Burley Duck Tavern to operate at 488 Milwaukee Avenue. And the process of finding a new administrator for the Village of Mount Pleasant continues. In the meantime, though, there might soon be a new interim administrator. The board met in closed session for more than an hour last night. Then after reconvening in open session, Board President Dave DeGroote said the discussion would continue Wednesday evening. Police Chief Tim Zarzecki has been the interim administrator since Kurt Wallen was dismissed more than a year ago. And the Mount Pleasant board was also scheduled last night to vote on an appointment to the vacant trustee position. You know how that has gone lately. DeGroote again nominating Ram Bhatia, whose appointment lost on a 3-3 tie vote the last time. He withdrew the nomination after Trustee Kenneth Twaska said, even though he thought that Bhatia would make a good trustee, he now wants to wait until after the new village administrator gets hired. Racine's Redevelopment Authority going to be working with the Center for Community Progress through a consulting contract to tackle a couple of programs the city wants to implement with regard to housing and boosting the tax base.
Number one, a land bank program, which would help us obtain long-term tax foreclosed properties and turn them back into productive tax-paying properties. And number two, strategic code enforcement program to address issues of neighborhood blight and disinvestment. You may be asking, why would we be going to the Center for Community Progress? Well, really, they're the only national nonprofit organization that is consulting with communities on issues of systemic blight and finding solutions for vacant, abandoned, and problem properties.
City Development Director Amy Connolly telling RDA members the goal is to work with all of the city's community partners, and in her words, we think they are the best group to help get the properties back onto the tax base.
The group started in 2010. And with leadership from the teams that put together the very first housing land bank in Genesee County, Michigan. And they've taken that success that they've had in land banking and transitioned that to a nonprofit organization that has offices in both Flint, Michigan and Washington, D.C. to advocate for these kinds of programs.
The RDA approved funding part of the consulting fee for the Center for Community Progress, Connolly noting that the effort may take more than just one visit by the group. The Summers Village Board has a 5:30 p.m. work session at the Village Hall, the agenda that includes the fire chief and a proposed paramedic program, a new law enforcement contract, and possible reimbursement for flood victims and drainage problems in the Summers Estates and Green Meadows subdivisions. At the Mount Pleasant Village Hall, beginning at 6:30 p.m., public hearings on a rezoning petition for 23 village-owned parcels right along the Pike River, part of the River Trail and stormwater improvements. Also a conditional use permit request by the owner of Ying's Kitchen, that to operate a small factory on Durant Avenue to make stir-fry sauce. Burlington Area School District board members at their meeting next Monday will consider a list of options for eventually holding a referendum next April on what to do with the Karcher Middle School and the elementary schools. MiracineCounty.com says that the Facility Planning Committee is going to be narrowing down the options for a recommendation that the board may consider. Leadership Kenosha to begin its 19th season of professional development offering September the 14th. Registration is now open through September 1st for Kenosha County residents, and it's being presented with a new partnership between the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce and UW Parkside. The participants will, among other things, research and complete a community service team project. There's more information about Leadership Kenosha by contacting the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce at 262-654-1234. Or you can go online to KenoshaAreaChamber.com/leadership-Kenosha. And the public invited to join Pleasant Prairie Fire and Rescue personnel for the second annual Safety Day that'll be coming up September the 23rd between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at Fire Station Number 1 on Springbrook Road. Featured will be the department's new 100-foot aerial platform fire truck, also the Flight for Life helicopter, and the Wisconsin State Patrol, emphasizing the importance of wearing seatbelts. There will be fire station tours, a rescue demonstration, the Fire Safety House exhibit, plus many other presentations from fire rescue and local law enforcement. I'm Tom Cargo, WRJN News.